You are listening to episode one of the podcast Hourglass, coming to you from New York City.
It's a beautiful woman standing on a beach.
Flow of ideas.
Work. It's never too late.
Time slipping past.
The days of our lives.
What to do with your time.
Being present in the moment.
Welcome to Hourglass, an original web series from New York City, produced and hosted by Maria Torres and Giovanna Aguilar. That's me. Whatever Hourglass means to you, we invite you to tune into our show, where we share inspirational stories from artists as we have fun with the script through the power of the voice.
Hi, this is Maria Torres, and I welcome you to tune into Hourglass, because it's time to talk.
Here we are, Maria Torres, on Hourglass, our very first episode. We've been talking about this for almost, I think 8 months or so. So what is it about the show that you feel so connected to and having this podcast come out of New York City?
Well, when you approached me with the idea of us working together on a podcast, what I liked immediately was the title, because the title has so many different meanings, and also the fact that is two Latina women coming together from two different types of worlds, me being the entertainment world and you being coming from the corporate slash directing, writing, and all producing now. I thought it'd be interesting to see what type of dialogue we can have in a podcast, and also touch on topics that I thought would be great that we can share with an audience that is ready to hear assertive women speak. It's also an opportunity to reach out to a lot of the young women and also the young guys that I mentor, because I mentor, you know, a variety of artists of all different backgrounds and age groups. I thought that would be great. And just to really explore in depth that theatricality that we can bring through a podcast, that sounded really fun and interesting to me.
Well, I'm excited. And like you, I feel very connected to this Hourglass concept, because it could mean so many different things. You ask a guy and, a woman, the perfect ideal woman's body or time. So I think it's empowering to do Hourglass here and with you. Your career has been, it is so fascinating, from dancing and going out into schools now and going out into the community and teaching and inspiring young girls and men. I think it's relatable really to anyone. So I'm excited to have someone like you who is so respected and who's done Broadway, who's choreographed for films like El Cantante to Enchanted. Let's talk a little bit about Hourglass and content and the kind of content that you get behind.
It has to resonate with me when I read a script. If I can go right through it without highlighting it and asking a lot of questions, I know that it's meant for me to work on it. As a Latina, it's important to bring my skills that I've learned in the general market and work with general market Latino projects. When I worked most recently, Fugly, which is John Leguizamo's docudrama comedy. Dramedy, let's call
it. It was good.
The dramedy. And I loved it because, you know, I met him in the early 90s. We worked together on Summer of Sam. And then from that moment, we just became really best buddies. And I was always just the choreographer that he would always go to. And so we developed a really great working relationship. Mm-hmm. And so to me, it's about that. I think it's number one, relationship. Number two, the content and material. What I love about John is that he always challenges himself to step it up mm-hmm. a notch or two. And those are the kinds of things that I gravitate. Anything that I can use, music and dance, in a way that allows me to explore something different.
Yeah. What I loved about the film, for me as a writer, stories that I want to get out, sometimes are the harder ones to tell, but bringing out the positive of what life throws at us, because mm-hmm. life isn't necessarily, you know, glowy all the time. Mm-mm. Fugly, I think, was refreshing to see. And one of the reasons I'm doing the show too is that people are so romanticized these days about the celebrity. And, oh, I want to be famous. I want to be a musician. I want to be an actress. And they get into all of these self-promotional stuff that is taking away from the essence of the hard work. In the movie, what was really great with John Leguizamo was showing the vulnerability of the artist that a lot of people don't talk about. Right. I think defining stories that are positive and also connecting to people.
The thing that I do like about what we can do with this show is share the human element of what artists' lives are. That's what the dramedy of Fugly was about. Yeah. I mean, it was charming, it was sweet, but it was enlightening to see that no matter what door closes, because even somebody like John Leguizamo will not be able to get $20 million to be able to put towards a project. But we were able to, the persistence and him really the desire to tell his story. As an artist, it's not just, yes, we want to make a living, and absolutely that's one of the things that's important, but I think it's also wanting to run to the work. Unlike a 9-to-5 where you're having to exercise your skill, here you're stretching yourself from inside out as opposed to from the outside in. What we can do with this show is bring back the focus on the artistry as opposed to the accolades. Because nowadays what you have is the emphasis on the accolades and how many things that we can get as opposed to what is your artistic voice saying? How do you achieve that? You know, because there's many different ways. You as a writer, you don't just go out and say, well, I'm going to go and get myself an agent and I'm going to be, you know, and focus on that. You focus on what you're going to write and then how well you want to be able to have that resonate with you as opposed to where's it going to get you. There's a balance, too, that we have to have. So I think that's one of the things that we can talk about, because reality is that as an artist, we do have to live and eat.
Absolutely. I'm excited and I hope our listeners will be very excited to get to hear all of our content.
Absolutely. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
I mean, I like we have a little bit of everything, right?
Yes, we will.
I mean, why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
I feel a sense of responsibility. Whether you're writing or you're performing, you're representing something that hopefully can inspire others to know that they can do the same or do better. And I think for Hourglass, for us, it's going to be something fun. I think you get the message across with content and things that are relatable and funny and not being so serious. It's nice to know that you're not alone. So the show will have a segment where we're introducing celebrated personalities and entertainment, even politics, because it all lends itself, all the world's a stage, you know. One of the other segments is Maria, who came up with this amazing title that I really love called Kickball Change, Keep It Moving. Kickball, Change, Keep It Moving. And it's fun because it's going to be about missteps. What do you do when something doesn't happen the way it's supposed to, which happens to me all the time? And, you know, it's about recovery. So you fall down, get yourself up. And Maria will be sharing behind-the-scenes stories from those experiences. But how, you know, another person can look at, like, wow, it wasn't that bad. Oh, okay, that happened to me. And then see the wit, you know, let's put some color to the storytelling. And I think that's, you know, you as a dancer, bringing through the audio in your personality, you can hear it because, you know, it's kind of lyrical the way you explain things. And it's so interesting. So you're grabbing us with your stories. I find voice being so fascinating with texture. How many actors are out there that we can just sit down and listen to them? Morgan Freeman is one that comes to mind.
Yeah, he's got a great voice. He's got a beautiful voice.
So,
you know, really interesting.
So this is going to be fun how we are going to play with this audio podcast.
Awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well,
looking
great.
Forward to it.
This is Maria Torres, and I'd like to share a conversation I recently had with Silvia Roldan Dohi, one of the voices on our podcast, Hourglass. For our segment, Kickball Change, we share our experiences on Broadway performing and paying it forward.
Kickball Change, Keep It Moving, is when you're in the throes of working, and there's things that were working and a lot of things that weren't. And you got to keep it moving.
Absolutely.
Because at the end of the day, you have to have that piece or that number done.
The nature of everything, not just art, things go wrong. And how do you, in the spot, take what you're given, work with what you have, and make it come out in the end?
Tell us one of your stories.
Late on in the run of Miss Saigon, I did the show for 10 years. And I was a swing, which meant I was an understudy for everybody in the chorus. There were 10 women. I needed to know all their dance movements, all of their vocal parts. And towards the end of the run, you know, things tend to go wrong a little bit more because everybody knows it's over. And there was a big dance number, The Morning of the Dragon. It's this huge Chinese pageant number. And we're all wearing Ho Chi Minh black pajama suits, Chinese tiger mask. And you don't have a lot of peripheral vision. And it's very cute. The music is very percussive, you know, bump, 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 bump. Bum, 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 bum. It's a military number, and it starts with a bunch of guys coming out with big banners, and then they leave, and then the women come in doing this Chinese dance, and after that come in the acrobats, and then everybody comes out with ribbons, and it's very processional.
Right.
And the number was supposed to start, and there's a vamp of music. Bum, bum, bum. And everybody is supposed to come out from curtains upstage against the back wall. The curtains don't open. Now, they're big, heavy curtains.
Oh.
And the vamp is playing and our counts are going on and the curtains aren't opening.
How many people stuck back there?
Everybody, the whole cast with big banners is crammed back there. And the first thing is a big statue of Ho Chi Minh is supposed to roll out. And he's jammed up back there, this huge two-ton statue. And I'm standing on its foot. Now, as a swing, I know all the percussion cues in my sleep. And I figure if the girls can just get out there when it's time for the girls' section of the dance to begin, we'll be fine. At least something will happen because you know,
yes,
as a performer, the one thing you can't have is dead stage.
Exactly.
And that night, I happened to be on for the first girl in the procession. So I'm standing on Ho Chi Minh's foot, and I'm in front of everybody, so I can't see what's going on behind me. And I'm counting the music, and I'm counting the music, and okay, here we go. And I manage to sneak out through a hole and crack in the curtain and start doing my dance. And I'm dancing, and I'm looking around, and where is everybody? And
I
am out there on this stage by myself, and the music is playing.
And what is the audience doing?
They're watching me.
There you go.
They have no idea because it's our job to make sure they don't know that something is wrong. So I just thought in my head, Sylvia, you must dance for Jesus right now. And every single Asian step in every Asian show I had ever done in my life came to me. And I'm in my mask with my hands, and I'm doing stuff from King and I, and I'm doing stuff from Japanese traditional fan dance, and I keep trying to jump and turn around and do spins so I can see if anyone else is coming out. And they're not. It felt like an eternity,
wow,
but I just kept dancing until all of a sudden the curtain opened. And these tumblers came out, and then these guys came out with signs. So I'm in the middle trying not to run into everybody who's coming out. And once they all sort of clear, I'm like, kickball change, get off the stage.
Kickball change and walk, and keep it moving. And
in an Asian way, kickball change and sashay off the stage. And I remember walking off into the wings and asking the stage manager, who was laughing so hard she could barely stand, what just happened? Because it's so quick. And all of your, you know, brain cells and physical body, you've trained your whole life to do this, goes on overdrive in these moments.
Yes.
And the number went on from there, and it finished.
Wow.
And at the end of the day, the audience, unless they had seen the show a few times, didn't know what happened.
That's awesome. And so you saved the day, really. That was a pretty awesome moment. Scary. But that was a fabulous moment.
When they asked me about it later, I said, it's doing our job.
Yeah. That's
as
what a pro
theater,
does.
Mm-hmm. As a theater performer, that's what you do.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. That's a great story. Hers at least ends really well. Mine didn't end so great. So in the spring extravaganza, the opening number opens up with everybody actually appearing on stage. And Greg Burge was actually the lead in this show. And he was an amazing Tony Award winner, performer, just unbelievable. I mean, just unbelievable performer who unfortunately is no longer with us, but was the star of the show. So what would happen is that all of a sudden, in the middle of the number, this steam curtain that would go up like 6 feet up in the air would come up, and then we would leap through it. And once we would leap through it, we would have all these different types of different configurations of the performers going from left to right of the stage. And then Greg would point to us, and I would have a featured moment with one of my partners, where I would do like a specific move, a trick, and then we would open up, we would both spin out, cross behind each other, I would cross in front of him, my partner would cross behind me, and then the Rockettes would come in. But in the process, while that was happening, they would always have these dancers that had mops because the steam curtain was so thick that the floors would get wet. Well, one of the guys didn't make it. So, unfortunately, first of all, I couldn't see where I was going. I flip, my wig comes off, and my friend is telling me, your wig is off. And I was like, okay, oh my God, what do I do? As I'm going about to do my knee spin and a double pirouette, I pulled out my wig past my eyes so I can't see where I'm going. I do my kickball change, but then I slide into this pool of water and fall on my stomach and kept sliding as the Rockettes are coming in, doing their kickball change, coming in. And they're like, Maria, are you okay? And I look up, I said, I think I'm okay. I just need to make it to the other side. Please, somebody help me. And I got up, I'm soaking wet, and I made my other entrance. And that was my, one of my crazy stories. Wow. Didn't end quite as nice as yours, though. You know,
well, you lived and the show went on.
The show went on. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I dried myself off and mm-hmm. came in and finished the number, sopping wet. But, you know, that's it. What can you do?
And I'll bet as you were sliding across the stage on your stomach, you slid beautifully.
Oh, gorgeous. I pointed my feet. My legs were in a beautiful line. I mean, I just,
like
I did.
Flying.
I thought, and it looked like I was flying, like I was part of the number as far as the audience was concerned. But of course, Linda Haberman, who never missed anything, she was like, Maria, interesting exit. That was her favorite line for me in that show. I always had an interesting exit. Preparation is key. Like for me, even when I'm sharing these funny stories, I mean, it happened so quickly, but there are things that I made sure that I didn't, I mean, I fell in a way that I wouldn't hinder the Rockettes coming in because, that could have been disastrous. And, you know, seriously, I mean, it's crazy, but it's true. And when I'm training performers, I tell them if you're working on a specific part of the choreography that's really complex, that's involving doing something that to me is requires a lot of physical strength or partnering, working off of someone, it could be scary at first. It's all about focusing on the material and the timing of things so that you're able to know if that doesn't happen, what do I do? How do you do that kickball change mm-hmm. in a way that allows you to save yourself from that misstep? And I think that's the key thing here for this segment is really that no matter what goes wrong, if you're prepared.
Yes.
If you're prepared, then you're able to really, and if you focus on that preparedness rather than the psychological of what went wrong, mm-hmm. Whether it be an artist or whether it be in life.
What can I do?
What can I do?
I think that's the most empowering phrase we have in anything.
Right.
In most situations, there is something you can do. If you cannot go to the panic place, what can I do? What's in front of me? One of my favorite scenes in a movie, mm-hmm. I think, is Apollo 13 mm-hmm. with Tom Hanks. And they're in the spaceship, and all of a sudden, everything is going wrong. And those three guys are going to die if they can't fix it. And I know I'm paraphrasing badly, but one of the guys down in NASA comes into a group of very smart NASA geeks yeah. with a box of just stuff, rubber hoses and paper filters, and says, we need to come up with a water filtration system right now, and this is all you have to work with. And he dumps this box of crap on a table. And nobody turns around and says, oh my God, we can't do it with this. Everybody just dives into the box of crap and makes it work. And the astronauts come back safe.
Right.
And I always keep that in my heart. Because no matter how bad things are, you have got to make it work. Because not working is not an option.
Right. Exactly. And I think, you know what, that's the other thing too. Bringing it down to the basics. Mm-hmm. When you understand your basics, you know, for us and artists, we have basic fundamentals of mm-hmm. whatever it is, whether it's in acting, whether it's in dancing, whether it's in singing. We have to understand our basic elements in order for us to be able to excel and go to that next level. And I think that also applies to life, too, as well. I mean, when you can focus, you right or wrong, Sylvia.
Absolutely.
You know,
and I was going to add that I had a wonderful friend of mine, a phenomenal actress, Alma Cuervo, once told me that as an actress, she doesn't just memorize her lines, she memorizes everyone else's lines. Talk about preparation.
Yes.
So that if anyone goes up, she can help guide the scene back to where it needs to be.
That's amazing. That's really incredible.
And I took that with me and embraced it. Mm-hmm. Because even in life, if you know not just your little part of something, but the big picture of it, and something goes wrong, you're better prepared to know how to compensate for it, where you need to get to. As dancers, if you know everyone's part, you can help cover for the person who doesn't make it out on stage. If you know the other people's lines, you can hand them something so they can get back on track. I've been on stage and seen that horrible, I've both felt it and seen it, the horrible look of panic on the other actor's face when they've gone up. And if you can say, "Weren't you about to go into the kitchen, Francis?" Francis will go, "Oh, right, I need to go get the muffins from the kitchen, and I hope," and she'll go on with her line.
Right.
You know, or right. I've had that feeling where, yow, bling, and somebody else tosses me a bone, and that one split second, that's all I needed, my brain's right back on track.
That's a great way to be able to really prepare yourself. I mean, that's amazing, because that requires a very specific type of discipline, you know, to be able to take in all of it. And it reminds me of a story, like even today when I'm training, you know, three of the principals, you know, and they're not dancers, but they're actors and singers. And they were having the toughest time learning the material. And I said, "Okay, let's stop. You're not a dancer, so you're not going to be thinking in 5, 6, 7, 8. Mm-hmm. Why don't we talk about remembering it through the lyrics?" And there you go. You're going to be able to, through the lyrics, be able to know where you are. It was like a light bulb went off. The girls went from not being confident, from like, "I hate this kickball change," to all of a sudden, they were smiling. And by the end of the day, they all walked away saying, "Thank you so much, because now I can do this." Because it was so much material for them to learn. So it really is about finding a way to understand your basics in the midst of the chaos that may be happening, you know? Mm-hmm.
And what I will commend Maria for, a great thing in teaching, is you find the way to communicate that the person you're working with needs. Yeah. If you were to say 5, 6, 7, 8, it wouldn't mean anything to them. But by finding the key, the communications key, that put it in their mental language, bam.
Yeah.
An enormous tribute to your teaching skills. What it is.
In life, when we have these missteps, there are things that you can do to be able to give yourself that confidence. And therapeutically, I think the arts can do that for anybody, whether you're mm-hmm. doing it at 8 shows a week or whether you want to do it just because you feel like doing it. And I think that also bringing it back to that kickball change, keep it moving, it is important to understand in that present situation, what do I need to do now so that I'm able to move forward? Because that could apply in anything.
It's that creative, quick thinking ability.
Right.
Regardless of the field.
Yeah.
Hourglass is an original podcast production hosted by creators and producers Maria Torres and Giovanna Aguilar. We would like to thank our incredibly talented team of artists, music producer Roman Rojas, the voices of Sylvia Roldán, Dohi, and Eric Rath, our production and post-production sound team who make sure we all sound good, Pete Scazzari, our sound engineer, and our two interns, Marion Lozano and Parker Robinson. And of course, a special thank you to Mad Pan Productions owner, Uri Jamal, for the best studio in New York City. We invite you to book your next session here.